Kate, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, what's up? I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Where are you?
I'm in Ohio.
Okay, I'm in Georgia, and it looks like it's gonna pour down rain. It's pretty
Yeah,
bad here. How is it there?
it's the same. It's been raining all day, but it's Ohio, so it could change in 15 minutes.
I know, and you know, coming from California to Georgia, it was like that here, but in California, the weather doesn't change real fast. So it was kind of a trip for me to come here and experience that. But yeah, it's like sunny one second, and then the next second it is thunder and lightning. It's a trip.
Yeah, I think in my experience in Georgia, it's like you're gonna get rain every day. It's just a matter of is it a 5 minute thing or is it an all day thing?
And so much for a good hair day. If you're a woman and you try to do your hair, forget about it. You gotta go all natural or in a ponytail. It's just humid as hell sometimes. So,
Well, I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me.
yeah, no problem at all. I'm sitting here in my little studio. I do this thing, this 2 week song thing, I call it. And so I start a new song that I write every 2 weeks. And then at the end of the year, I do an album compilation. And I'm working on this new song now. And it's really string, thick, sad, kind of moving. It's called Rise Again. So it's I do something different every 2 weeks. Like last week, I did kind of an up song. And the week before that, I did kind of a monstery, kind of more of a raspy song. So I try to kind of keep it dynamic and different, but I'm just sitting here writing lyrics, and that's what I'm actually sitting in front of my screen right now talking to you and looking at my lyric sheets.
Well, I wanted you to catch me up. The last release I remember hearing was Manifesting Destiny. So I wanted to have you catch me up to date with what's going on.
Well, so Online Metal Promo, which is Benjamin Niebla, he got back with us. He was our manager back in like 2008, 9. We were doing really good then, and then we had a problem with keeping band members and everything. And you know how that goes. Some people have issues with drugs or issues with this or issues with women or with this or that. So it's just kind of, those people that are real successful in bands, don't know how fortunate they are to have the band still together. So we kept trying to reform bands and it just never worked. And so we were trying to, do a new album with this Manifesting Destiny, and it just took so fucking long to do. It took forever. It was like 10 years or something trying to find the people. So Benjamin comes back into the picture and he's like, "Well, I've got these two record labels, Animated Insanity Records and No Dust Records from Europe, Animated San Insanities in the USA." And he said they want to re-release both of your albums that you did with Vainglory and resell it and repackage it. And I was like, "Hell yeah." It was I did it. I released both of those on my record label, which is Rebellion Records US. And I am not someone with a shit ton of money, but they have the ability to do stuff and to make things nice. So they repackaged it and redid it, and it's like a 2-for-1 deal. You can buy both of those albums that I did, and there was actually an album previous to me called 2050. So there was actually three albums with Vainglory, but it's just the two that I did, and they repackaged it and they re-released it this last July. And so it lit a fire under our ass, and people were like, "What the hell happened to you?" And so we're actually in the process of writing again, and then July or August we're going to come out with a new Vainglory CD. So we're kind of jazzed about the fact that people were interested and that we had kind of a revival over, these record labels and picking us back up and Benjamin helping us out. And he's been connecting me with people to interview. And I'm just at a different place in my life too now, where I'm actually a solo artist. I just released my first solo CD, and I just did those songs every 2 weeks and released it, at the end of the year type deal. And it just is kind of really got me going to writing. I feel like you know, when you an object stays in motion, you know, you keep going, you know, when you keep doing something. So that's kind of been my practice. What actually happened was I started writing. This guy paid me to write a country album with my husband, and he paid us a large amount every week to write one song a week. And I was like, hell, I'm doing this every week. I need to do it every 2 weeks and release stuff. So it just makes your, you know, when you tend to stay in motion and stay doing stuff, you keep doing it. So I figured I'm just going to, you know, do stuff and finish it and have a deadline and get it done. Because I think a lot of people, and that's a lot of problem, they don't finish shit. You know, they just sit on it. And,
sure.
And I do that. I'm guilty of it. And that goes for everything. You know, you have to really... you know, set a time and set an intention and follow through, and no matter what, finish it. And I've been doing that. And this practice that I've been doing is helping me with the Vainglory stuff and with my own stuff and just everything. So it's just me and Corbin now. If we go out, we'll hire some, you know, killer musicians to do stuff for a couple, you know, shows or whatnot, if we decide to do that. But it'll probably be next year that we tour, if we're doing anything like that or doing any shows like that. But yeah, there's a lot I just said, huh?
And the new material, would you say it's in the vein of the other two albums?
Yeah. So it's so funny because Corbin, you know, I wanted to experiment. I'm the kind of person that I like to do different shit all the time, you know, and for the second album, I want to do something different. I didn't want to do the same thing as the first album. And I wanted to, you know, show people my metalness, you know, metalnesses, my metalness. And then I could do these different things, and then I could do all the Cookie Monster, and I could do the heavy, and I could do the different kinds of metal. So I'm Manifesting Destiny. I threw a bunch of that shit in there, and I did all kinds of stuff. And Corbin's like, what the fuck is that? And I listened to the whole thing in its entirety, and it is pretty screamy. It's kind of, he says, it's like we're in a fight and I'm yelling at him.
Yeah.
So that was that album. I manifested a big, you know, it's very metal. It's very screamy in places, and a lot of screamo stuff, which he fucking hates. He hates it. And so we're going back to old school, which is what we did before. And even with a little bit more melody in it, because that's what he likes. And basically it's his band, you know, that band was started, Vainglory, through David Chastain and Leviathan Records. And so David met up with Corbin. Corbin did the same thing that I did. He gave him a demo and David liked it, and he picked up Corbin, and then he made the name Vainglory with Corbin. So Vainglory is Corbin's band, and Vainglory, you know, he decides on what he wants, and I'm letting him take the reins on that. And so he wants more melodic metal, more of an old school, like an Yngwie, and it is his feature. You know, he's a guitar virtuoso. He is an incredible guitar player. And he's also putting out a solo album, which I think he's putting out a single either this week or next week, that he just finished. But he's phenomenal. I mean, he is a total, I mean, I think he's better than Yngwie, because he's got these tasty, you know, the soulful things that he does. He does the Yngwie thing. He does all that kind of stuff. But it's so soulful when he does it. And it's not just mechanical. And me being someone who's sang with just so many virtuoso guitarists, I sang with a lot of guitar players. I am like the guitar player's singer. And he's just got something that's different. It's his fluidity with his fingers across the fretboard. And he just does some really different things. It's the harmonics that he does and the way he does them, and just the nuances that he does are different from any other guitarist. So he'll be putting out a solo album as well. So, you know, this whole thing has kind of lit a fire for all of us, you know, or for us to, you know, do more. And I want him to do more. And I think as we get older too, there becomes this time crunch. It's like, kind of like having a kid. It's like, oh my God, the time clock's running out. I better do it now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And the time as we get older, the days turn into years much faster.
Exactly. You know, I'll be 55 in 2 weeks now. And so, and when, you know, and I was sick with food poisoning this last week, and it was no fucking joke. I mean, I thought I was going to, I didn't know what was going to happen. And you think about those times and you think about all your friends that have gone before you and you're like, what the fuck? Cause they didn't expect anything to happen.
Sure.
And they're gone, you know? So yeah, we better get on it.
And I think the key too also, and the longevity is staying active.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
All
you know,
friends that passed, you know, I went to my, I'm 58 and went to my reunion, my 30-year reunion. I looked around and I'm like, man, am I in an episode of The Walking Dead or what?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, staying vital. You know, I see a lot of people too giving up, you know, on stuff and like, you know, I can't do anything. I don't want to do this, or I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do this, or I fucking care, man. I'm going to try at least, you know.
Yeah.
There's people that try and die, you know, people that are workout gurus that have heart attacks and croak, but I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to, and that's my thing too. And I think you're right when you say to stay active, and my grandmother always used to say something. She used to say an idle mind is the devil's playground. And I think that's true. I think that when you are active and when you are doing and trying, then you don't have time to think about anything that's negative or any shit to make you feel like shit. So, you know, I try to do that. I try to stay active. We have a little farm here. And so there's really no way that I can't stay active. You know, I'm always feeding the horses, or they're doing chickens, bringing them in or out, or the cats, or, you know, cleaning or doing, and I take care of Corbin and my son, who is still here, Trevi. He's going to college now. Trevor, he's also a drummer. He played on Manifesting Destiny.
Wow.
And, yeah. And so, you know, I just stay active. And we were talking about that this morning, man. A lot of our friends are died, you know, gone. Ralph Santola, and a lot of people, Carl Albert a long time ago, and all these people that were friends of ours, and Greg Knowles, and all these musicians. And then that guy, AJ, just died from Firehouse, the singer. And it's just, it's a trip. It's a trip. Yeah. So, you know, we got to focus on the good stuff, though, and focus on what we have in our life and our bubble while we have it. But at getting older, things change a lot faster. And, you know, you just, I feel like you just got to try and be optimistic and do, you know?
And, yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to ask you, and speaking on that, what is your take, your giveaways and your takeaways from music of our period to today's period? You know, when we were kids and we were fans and we were listening to the 80s thing and everything that's happened with metal along the way, what do you feel are some of the giveaways and some of the takeaways being an artist in this time frame?
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, metal became so many different things. I really wish that it would have kind of stayed the same as it was. You know, stayed that one way that it was, and it branched off into so many different things. And I think that metal is really what traditional metal is, which is distortion on the voice and melody. You know, I liked the traditional metal. So, you know, a lot, it turned into so much. I mean, Fairy Princesses can be metal, and then Cookie Monsters can be metal. And, you know, I mean, there's such a, I just kind of wish it would have stayed in the traditional, I guess that is a genre of metal now. And there's just so many, but I would have liked for it to stay that one way and developed into that. Now people are going back into that traditional metal kind of way of being, you know, the sound, but it's not quite what it was. It's a little bit more poppy, you know, and a little bit less aggressive, or a little bit less gothic-y. So,
yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to each his own. Everybody loves something different, and everybody, you know, I think that it's just a trip that it went off into so many different things that I believe that aren't metal. at all. You know, I don't believe if you're singing opera that over heavy guitars that's metal. I just don't. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And that's just me personally. I don't ever. Two things I cannot handle. One thing is rah, 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 that stuff.
Right.
The other is ah, ah, ah. And I've done it. I've tried it over stuff, but I can't listen to it. I've done it in small amounts. But if there's some kind of lengthy thing like Arch Enemy where they're screaming over shit and I could not sit through a show like that or Epica and
right.
People are going to hate me for that. But I cannot sit through any of that because it's just either this Little Mermaid or Fairy Princess or, you know, something that's inaudible and unlistenable. So I've never gotten into that. But I'm glad it's kind of going back to more traditional. It is a trip how nothing is on the radio anymore that we did, you know, that we liked. I mean, there used to be a place for it on the radio. Now it's, you know, hair metal, what a caller or whatever, Rock Nation. But on the basic radio stations that are local, there's nothing like that I really hear too much. You know, I hear a lot of old school stuff and it's just like everything kind of was erased. In that time frame, and it's just such a trip that nothing now is really likable that's on the radio, but everything's become so spread out since everyone's become independent as well. And I am thankful for that, you know, people have the ability to put themselves on, you know, platforms to be heard, and that's kind of a cool thing. But I would say the evolution of metal is something that I think it could have been different and would have been cool if it would have stayed like the Dios and like the Metallicas and then just really just stayed along those lines and had bands grow up through that instead of going through the facets of inaudible weirdness, you know, pop over metal or, you know, and I have some stuff that's like that where I'm doing, you know, a little bit of the hip hoppy metal stuff. I call it pedal, but, I would say the opera over metal is something that's more irritating to me than the pop over metal. At least pops a little bit. I mean, Michael Jackson had somewhat of a metal voice with his little raspy thing going on, and you could kind of put that over heavy guitars and have something there. But this whole opera thing, you know, and opera singers are very diligent with how they sound and what they're like. And then these other people are just capitalizing on calling it metal, you know, to get people to listen, I guess. But like I said, to each his own, people enjoy it, and there's nothing that anyone can say if someone enjoys it. So it's just gone in so many different directions. You know, what do you think about it? What do you think about the metal genre, and how do you think it's evolved? Do you think it's evolved in the way it should have evolved, or do you think what's your thoughts on it?
I'm traditional for the most part, yeah. But I have appreciation for people trying to push the envelope,
trying to innovate,
to try create something that hasn't been done before. I interview at this stage because they're giving me something that I haven't heard, or they're showing me something that has a flavor of its own,
right?
So we can stand.
See, now I have that, and I'm talking and then I'm saying other stuff that's contradictory to what I'm saying, but that's a true story for me because as a solo artist, I'm doing the pedal thing, which is what I call it, is a pop metal. It's this hip hop cross with metal, and it's something that's different. But for me, the voice, you know, being a vocalist, I guess I'm mostly set on the vocals being metal if they're said to be metal, you know, if it's going to be pedal, maybe pop music with a metal voice. So I guess what I'm speaking about is the voice when I speak about metal and how it's evolved. I prefer Metallica, I prefer Ronnie James Dio, I prefer, you know, that kind of voice, and
sure.
Just something that's I believe that metal voices are voices that have a distortion. I think that like a guitar has distortion. So for me, I did a little bit of the hip hop and I crossed the hip hop with the distorted vocal. And I had a couple songs, Scream It I have a song called Scream It, and then I have another song. I have a lot of songs that are like that. But I try to innovate a little. I try to do some different things too, because I mostly get fucking bored. And my husband is a hip hop producer. Yeah, he does. He did some songs for Ritz. I don't know if you heard of Ritz or Tech N9ne.
Tech N9ne, absolutely.
Okay, so he did a song for Ritz and Tech N9ne called Picture Perfect. And he was the guitarist. He wrote the whole song, and then he produced the song and mixed it and everything. But he did that, and he had some songs, and I wanted them, so I kind of tweaked them the way I wanted them, and I worked those into what I did. And I enjoy doing that because it's just something different. Now I just kind of pick and choose, you know, according to my mood, what I feel like doing. Like I said, and like you said, as we get older, you know, we become less like, oh my God, I got to do this because this person or this group of people aren't going to like me if I don't do this or whatever. I don't give a fuck anymore. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what I feel like doing, and I don't care, you know? And I think that's the way a lot of people should be. You got to kind of do what you love, what makes you feel good. And at this point in my life, I'm just doing that. But I do have some kind of innovative different songs that come out of that. And I do like that mix that he did. The Picture Perfect song is a real heavy metal line. If you listen to it, it's Tech N9ne and Ritz. And it's all over YouTube. I think it got over like 5 million views. And it was number one on the hip hop charts when it came out. It says written by Corbin King, which is, you know, Corb. And so I like that mix. So I tried it with my heavy voice, and it turned out really well, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very important that you stick to your guns. You know, I've had, since I've done this podcast, and I've reached a higher plane of popularity, I have record labels coming to me. Hey,
yeah,
we do this album or this album, and talk to this artist and that. And,
nice.
You know, my first thing is, well, let me hear it first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to talk about an album I don't like or an artist I don't think shows me anything, because at the end of the day, we all have to look in the mirror and like what we see.
Yeah. Well, you got to do you. You got to do what you want to do. And I definitely agree. You got to do what you love. That's tough. That must be really tough to, you know, having to, you know, do that when you have art or record labels coming to you. And that's kind of, that would be tough.
I just, I can always tell, like, I've seen peers that have metal shows and stuff. And, you know, like, there's this one guy that really inspired me to do what I do, because I could tell he's in the pocket of Nuclear Blast.
Uh-huh.
And I hear him talk about albums that there is no way he could have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to be doing that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is true that you got to stay true. I have a podcast too. I haven't done it in a while, but my podcast is nutrition and advice kind of thing for couples type deal, or, you know, things that ail you, you know, cures, natural cures, that kind of thing. I started it like a year ago. It's called My Voice, Kate French, My Voice. And I talk about stuff that's, you know, true to me, that I enjoy talking about and helping people with. I like to help people, you know. I like to help them to stay healthy or to give them things that will keep them well. And that's kind of a thing these days too, is, and I'm glad with the internet, you know, that everybody is helping each other through the internet to be healthier and to be better. What was that?
Oh, I can't say what its name, but the certain device in my room makes this noise when it wants to listen to me.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Huh. Man, we're in the age of AI now. What do you think about AI?
Well, I'll tell you what. I interviewed my first AI metal band.
Oh, my Lord. How was that?
The band's called the Frost King Orkings. O-R-K-I-N-G-S. And They come from this land of Oregon, I guess.
Yeah.
And these are, this is a set of actual, I think it's 4 supercomputers. The guy that developed these computers programmed them with 200 years of music.
Wow.
And they are, they, all the music, lyrics, even their own characters, their image, it's all created by these computers, and they actually speak to each other.
Did they have an English accent?
They do not.
Okay, because I thought for sure with it, over the years that they had, you know, researched that all the music, that it would be somewhere in the Europe, you know, European descent or something like that, from metal and from you know, like AC/DC or what do you call it? You know, just anybody that's European. I don't know.
We had the guy almost didn't do the interview with me because we had a disagreement, because he said, "If do you want to speak to one of these computers and do the interview with it?"
Yeah.
I told him, I said, when your computer gets a divorce and gets raped for all his money, then I'll talk to him about it.
That is, it's such a trip. I thought that, you know, I think that'd be fun. I'd have so much fun with that. That's so fucking weird. I'd have fun with it. I'd be like going off on him, I think, and saying all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah, it's just absolutely it's almost scary in a sense. You listen to the music.
What's
it's
the
very
music?
Well composed, and the choruses are very, very catchy. But there's not much feeling involved in
I will tell you that, you know, being and delving into AI, I love AI for photos and stuff, because it takes my face and slaps it on all kinds of shit, and I don't have to go anywhere. I'm like, hell yeah, no, you know, paying someone $1,000 for a fucking photo shoot, going somewhere and getting dressed up and corseted up and makeuped up and doing all the shit, and you know, I don't have to do that. I just, you know, post random pictures, and it's just an image, so I don't matter, or you know, it doesn't mind, I don't mind it too much. But that would be a trip to do. Did you actually end up talking to the AI singer?
No, I just talked to the creator of the, you know, that put all the information in the computers. But yeah. I guess they're as close to conscious as.
What I was going to say is this. I forgot. I got on a different train of thought. What I was going to say is I went on to some, it was ChatGPT, like a year ago, and typed in some what I wanted as far as a concept for lyrics and whatnot. And it cannot connect things the way that humans can. It's a soulless thing. And a friend of mine, Howie Bentley, who is in Cauldron Born, he has a band too. He was talking about somebody who uses AI to write lyrics, and you just can't do it. You just, it doesn't have the soul yet to do the things that a human does. I don't know that it ever will, you know, because it's just such a different thing. But it is a trip when I think about it, because I think about, you know, I'm a very deep thinking person. I think about, what are we, some kind of biological AI? And we just don't fucking know it or something? Is there some kind of, I mean, our brains are computers, you know,
right?
In a way, we've got synaptic connections, and our bodies are, you know, the computer without all the programming, but when we're kids, and then we make these synaptic connections, and then those thought processes connect us, and it makes us who we are. So it's just a trip that AI, I mean, what if we're the end stages of AI and we just don't know it? I don't know. I mean, I guess if you have your faith and, you know, you believe what you believe, or that, it makes that all, you know, not true. But in the past few years, so much shit has come out and so much shit has changed.
Sure.
And it's just such a bizarre thing, you know. It's such a wild thing how much has changed. What do you think of the last couple years? Hasn't it been weird?
Yeah, it has. And the thing that is the wildest for me is that I think one of the hardest things in raising my daughter was getting her to get off the phone and in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, we grew up, you know, we're close to age. We grew up in a time where, you know, our parents were like,
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
I was always, or we were out, because I mean, when I was 15, 16, I was out with my girlfriend walking all over the neighborhood, going to get Boone's Hill Farm strawberry wine and drinking with all my friends.
Sure.
I mean, we were always out and about, you know, and always looking for the party, or always, you know, walking. So, yeah, and my son, you know, he's 25, and it's the same thing with him. I don't know how old your daughter is, but, you know, he's in the age of video games and cell phones.
Right.
And I do think it's made a kind of a disassociative thing go on, where it's, you know, they're unable to connect to other people. And it's harder socially for them because of that. You know, I think for the men especially, and I hear a lot about, you know, how they can't talk to women, how they can't, they're afraid of it. And right. This girl's got this many people online, and she's this and that. And it's just so weird, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really hurts with social skills, because what does everyone post? No one posts anything bad that happens, you know, for most. It's all smiles and happy times, right? Birds and butterflies, you know, and it's life isn't that way.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And I don't know. Where do you think we're going as a country?
I have no idea. So yeah. We're working our, I think society's working its way to the end, personally.
Yeah.
I think that.
Yeah. I have this model of, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's on YouTube, and it's a model of the fast forward of the evolution of the Earth. It's really interesting, and it shows Earth from the beginning and to the end. And it says in the end, you know, AI takes over, and that's the last. And we are just such a small portion, according to this scientific model anyway, of what's on there. And I just found that was really interesting. But I don't know, this thing that's going on with everything, I'm kind of pissed off, really, that my son, and it's good that it happened at a later time, and he's not a young kid, thank God, but I feel like they've been robbed of their youth, you know, with the shit show. You know, I don't want him to have to fucking think about politics. I want him to, you know, have one of his friends and listen to music, and I don't want him to think about any of that stuff. And just the young kids, you know, having to think about a disease or, you know, anything like that. I just think that's a shame that happened, and it didn't have to, you know. It just fucked up. But
sure, and like the pandemic, it turned everyone into a bunch of haters.
Yeah. And there's this division that happens and everything, and you know, and you find out everything in the end of what's really going on. But it's just the fact that it's happening the way it is. And I think everybody really wants the same thing, but I think there's a lot of people that are confused about fighting the good fight and, you know, and actual reality of life and living and food and the basics, you know? So I'm very much, I look at things and I, you know, I will, it's like a chess game. Okay, is this happening here? Okay, well, this is happening because this is happening, and this is what's happening here, you know. And I look at all aspects of things and research, so I kind of know where, you know, and what's going on. But a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people don't want to look at all, you know. Their thing is you know, bliss, you know, ignorance is bliss. And then they just are on their high horse when their friends, you know, group think it, you know, to what they want and what they're going to do. And then they're all team. Yeah. You know, we can't talk. We have to kind of talk vaguely about what I'm saying. And I think, you know, what's going on too. But I just, you know, I wish that no one had to go through the time of you know, no child dealing with this, because our childhood was so fucking killer. We had so much fun.
Right. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Record stores and concerts and, you know, conquesting and who's going to get the girl, who's going to get the guy. And everybody was so happy and fun. And it was fun, you know. I wish that he had more of that and less of the other, but I don't know. It's just it's a weird time here, and I hope that we get past it and through it, and things are good in the end. I don't
absolutely.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk to you about your development. At what age did you begin singing?
So, when I was really tiny, tiny, my parents were real into music. So, I mean, I was singing from the time I was little, you know, born, like, I mean, records and things like that. But professionally, my first, I was in choir. So we actually went out and went, did shows. We did TV shows. We did all kinds of shit in the choir that I was in. So that was my first time reading music, actually, and knowing the notes and learning, you know, the staff and learning, you know, the soprano, alto, mezzo, forte, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
Soprano, mezzo, soprano, whatever you're going to learn. I learned theory, and then I learned solfeggio, and that was in the fourth grade. But I think that's what gave me the power, though. I remember there's a scene in this Mark Wahlberg movie, and it's called, I think it's Rockstar. Yeah, that's what it's called, where he's singing in this choir. And he's like meddling it out. And he's like, yeah. And he's holding out this note. And then the choir stops and he's still doing it. And I remember when I was a little girl in fourth grade, that happened to me when I was singing my ass off and everybody stopped. The bell was ringing for the next class. And my voice was like ringing over everybody's and they all turned around and laughed at me. But I always loved singing. And it's God, I mean, it's in my heart. It's like source energy. It's something that's different inside of me. It always has been, and I don't know what the hell it is exactly, but I've just always had this thing inside of me that makes me really want to sing professionally. I was signed at 24 with David Chastain and Leviathan Records at Foundations Forum. I met him, and then I flew out and wrote some songs with him, and he signed me at 24 years old. So professionally, my first album was in 1994, and that was In and Out. That was Sick Society. And so that was when I was 24 years old. So that's really when I, you know, professionally started. But as for bands and being around the Sacramento area and performing and playing and stuff, my first band I put together with this girl. Her name is June Bianca Lana, Italian girl. And I was at this guitar contest with my then boyfriend, who was Michael Furlong's cousin. Michael Furlong was on Shrapnel Records. And anyway, she was in this guitar contest for this radio station, and she just killed everybody. All the guys, she just smoked them, and she won the contest. And I walked up to her and I said, we got to start a band. And we started a band. And then I was in a band called Tantrum, and I got everybody together, all my guy friends, you know, at the music stores and stuff, because I was doing music stuff. I was singing cover tunes with my boyfriend and whatnot and doing things like that. But that was actually my first real band, Tantrum, and I was 18 years old. And then I got the mini storage unit and carpeted it up. And then my grandmother bought me a PA system, and I paid her back. And, and 18, we started doing shows, and they started announcing it on the local radio station. They were like, Tantrum tonight, naked, opening for Attica. And I was listening on the radio. We had so much fun, though. You know, I'd go every day, or times before shows, go jet skiing on the lake and get all suntanned, and then go out and do my shows. And then, you know, I worked for a title company at that time, and then evenings I'd save up like a dollar just to get gas to get down to the local club that had, you know, our friends playing. And it was a group of people all in Sacramento, and I was happy to be part of that group. Are you a musician?
No.
Are you? You're just really into music? You love music?
Yes, love music.
So have you always been in Ohio?
Yes, I have been.
Okay, so you know about the scene in the 80s where, you know, you were probably part of that scene.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so that was a great thing, you know, where you had the scene and everybody. I mean, I still to this day on Facebook, I'm friends with everybody that I was friends with at this place. It was called the Mini Storage Stables, and everybody, what it was is that it was a storage facility. and everybody'd roll up their roll-up doors, and we carpet the insides, and we go from place to place, from little storage unit to storage unit, and we view in the bands, you know, everybody'd be playing something different. We'd be drinking beer, and it was just so much fun. And now a lot of those people, Ira Black is playing a lot in L.A. He thinks he's playing for the Bullet Boys. My friend Dan McNay is playing for Jack Russell and Great White. And then my friend Steve is playing for Tesla. And just all those people, you know, became and did something. We're all still in music, too. And it's just such a trip that we can go back to the 80s and remember that time. So I was in that kind of in that time where we had a bunch of bands that were all friends, and it was just such a great thing, such great camaraderie, and everybody knew everybody, you know, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I think those days were a special period, and I wish they'd come back. One of the main reasons I do is because the people that graduated in my time, they are still listening to the same 300 songs they listened to when they were high school.
I still listen to that. Winger is one of my favorites.
I do as well, as it's all great music, but I want to spread the word that metal is far from dead.
Yeah.
And that there's bands out there that are doing great things, and they need the exposure, because the days of the $1 million deals aren't there anymore.
No,
now you sign with the label, you're basically taking a loan,
right, of
equipment and stuff to hit the road, but you got to pay that back. It's no more than a loan.
Yeah, well, it was that way in the days too. You always had to, you know, you just didn't know it, you know, when you got signed. And you know, my ex-husband was signed to Atlantic in the 80s. Do you know who Vicious Rumors is?
Absolutely.
So Larry Howe is my ex-husband. It's my dad, or my daddy baby. What the fuck do you call it? My baby.
Baby daddy.
Daddy. It's my son's dad. So he was signed in like early, I think, 80s to Atlantic Records, him and Testament and TNT, and they were signed to the metal department. They were given a lot of money, but they always had to pay it back. They just never really, you know, said anything about that. I mean, they did some high dollar videos. I think one was, he was saying, was like 40, and one was 70,000, stuff like that. They had, you know, you had to recoup. And you know, through merch or through whatever you did. So it's just you never got anything out of it, you know. And Jeff Thorpe I don't know how he does it, but some people are great business with record labels and whatnot, and they get that advance, and then they know what they're doing, and they just, you know, they make it work for them, especially with merch. They sell a lot of merch on the road, and that's how they, you know, they make their money and they recoup as well. But you just really have to have good business sense to make something out of yourself. And there's a lot of recouping back in the day as well. But it's not as glamorous as it was. So labels aren't as willing to invest.
You know? Right.
Yeah. So Lizzie Hale and Hailstorm, they're on Atlantic. I think they just signed to Universal, or they did something different. But they didn't, you know, they didn't make what they should have made. And it's just, you know, they're throwing people out there and seeing if they'll get a hit. And, you know, the younger people are getting some longevity. What do you think about Lizzie Hale or Greta Van Fleet or any of these?
She's touring with Skid Row now. She's the new lead vocalist.
She's filling in for them for a couple of shows, I heard. But they're getting some headlining shows. I initially liked her a lot when she first started. She was really good. And then I had some friends that had some personal experiences there, and it was weird. And I don't know. It's just, it's odd. So I like guys, and I like girls that like guys. but it's just, there's some, you know, there's some contradictory weird shit there, but I think she's got a great voice. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, what I do and what we've done and Leather did, you know, it's kind of got that growl thing going on, you know, what we've done for years. So I can't, you know, say that's not good, because the powerhouse thing is always good. What other bands do you like that are new?
That are new?
Yeah. Because we're talking about new bands.
Well, I don't know if you consider a new band, but, I really like the stuff David Reese is doing now, both in his band now and his solo work. I think it was good for him to get out of Accept and to move on. Uh-huh. And I think, you know, I think it really showed his contributions to the album that he's on.
Yeah.
And I think getting him to become his own really, really helped him a lot.
Yeah. David Reese, I know that guy. I've hung out with him before. Who he's in Accept?
He was. I don't know if you remember the album that had Generation Clash on it and all that. That was the first time that Udo had left.
Now, I know Udo. I hung out with Udo in at Monterey Metal Fest. I gave Udo a kiss on the cheek before he went on stage. he's such a nice guy, and his band was so killer. And my friend Taylene, who is, he's done some shows with them too. He used to be in Vicious Rumors, but I don't know. David Reese, is he an American guy?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's just so familiar. Huh, I'll have to check that out. I have not heard that. And, I haven't heard it.
Hines is another new band that, I think is really on to something good, as well as Edge of Paradise. I think they're now becoming what they should have, getting the recognition they should have got from the beginning.
Yeah. Know? Are they an American band? Are they from the
United States? Yeah, they're okay. California band.
Okay. From where, do you know? Los Angeles?
I think currently they're from that area.
Yeah. Yeah, man, new bands, you know, I mean, I follow a lot of, and I see a lot of female, they have a little girl band called Plush, and Plush toured with Disturbed, but I'm not thrilled. I think she's okay. I think that she's like Ann Wilson from Heart, that kind of a thing. I didn't really see any kind of, what do you look for when you look for a band? When I look for a band, like, if, you know, I've got my label, Rebellion Records. If I'm looking for a band to sign, I'm looking for a specific image that's tied to the music as well, that makes it kind of a package that when you go out and you see them, you're kind of mesmerized by it, you know, that it's really interesting. Something that's unique is something that I like too. Something that, you know, that is different from other things. So it's a hard sell for me. I don't want somebody that looks like they've walked into fucking Walmart, you know, right, you know, every day. If that's me personally, sure. I don't want somebody in jeans and a t-shirt right on stage. That's gonna, you know, just, unless they have some spectacular musical ability or songwriting ability, and I hear, you know, some hits in them. But I think the big thing is just people that have something to say that's substantive, you know, that would be nice.
Yeah, I think that's a quality I look for. But most of all, I'm looking for a band that when I put it on,
yeah,
or they come out with something new, I know it's them.
Yeah, yeah.
That or uniqueness.
Hell yeah.
You can copy Zeppelin, but you can't recreate that wheel.
Exactly. And I do think that Greta Van Fleet is doing that. And I think it's just too much. I think it's too much, like, and it's too weird. It's fucking weird. I don't want to hear Led Zeppelin again. I think they're fantastic, but that's just not original. But they are making it. I mean, they've made it, and they've done some things that are successful. I just wish there'd be something totally fucking killer, unique, different, that, you know, was upcoming. I'll have to listen to the Paradise the band that you're talking about.
Yeah, Edge of Paradise.
Edge of Paradise. Yeah, I haven't. I like groove, you know. The songs that I write, I wrote the song called called A Monster. And it's a keyboard song that I wrote. It's keyboard based, but it's got this pump with the guitars. And it's really bluesy, aggressive. And I'm just like, dah, 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 dah. You know, it's right on the beat. And it's just so, you know, punchy. And I think that's what I look for mostly if I was going to sign someone. I saw this band a couple of weeks back, and they're great looking guys. And, you know, they have that whole skinny, long haired thing going on and whatnot. I couldn't fucking remember one fucking song. You know, I couldn't remember one song. I sat there and they didn't even fucking look at anyone in the face. If you can't connect with people, forget it. You know, right. you gotta draw people in, make them feel welcome and connected, and mostly I wanna remember what you sang to me. I wanna remember, you know, people wanna have a takeaway when they go to a show, you know, you wanna have something to remember, you know, that's cool. Oh yeah, that was so cool. But when you can't remember a chorus in a song, for me it's kind of a deal breaker.
Right.
Yeah. I like hit songs. I like hits. I want to hear a hit, you know. I want to hear something that's memorable and something that's relatable as well. So that's me as a record label owner looking at different bands. But there's so many different facets of things that can interest you as well. You know, you just never know what you're going to be interested in. So, and I'm open-minded. Yeah. I'm not closed off to anything. I'll listen to anything. You know, and check it out. I've never been one to be like, oh, I only listen to metal. You know, I'm not like that. I've listened to everything. I sing everything. You know, I'm interested in everything. I do classical, interested in, you know, country, interested in, you know, I love Carrie Underwood. I love Jason Aldean. I like, you know, in Metallica is all my favorite of all time, and I love Pantera. I mean, it's just so much eclectic taste. I love Winger. I love Kip Winger's classical stuff that he does. I don't know if you've heard that. Have you heard that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I love Kip Winger. I've got a major crush on Kip Winger. I do.
You know, the first time I seen him was, you would know, you're close to my age. Yeah. You know, I seen him live on stage with Alice Cooper back when he was there as a bass player. Oh,
wow.
And Eric Singer, who later joined Kiss, was on drums at that time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Paul. Paul is a friend of mine, Paul Taylor, and he played keys for them. He might have been playing at the show you saw him at. You know, Paul Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Miles Away. He wrote that song for Winger, but he was with him in Alice Cooper. So you might have seen Paul. He has the big hair. He doesn't have big hair now, but I would have loved to have seen that. I like Alice Cooper. There's a girl that was recruited, Nita Strauss.
Yes.
She was in Iron Maidens. I was supposed to, I was asked to do some stuff with them and go on tour in like the Middle East. They wanted me to go, and my son was really young, and I was like, you know, and I wanted to be there for him, and it was like a couple weeks, and it was not a big deal, but I didn't want to be gone from, you know, a 7-year-old, you know, 8-year-old kid. And we had just moved to Georgia not too long before, but I had the opportunity to go, and she was in Iron Maidens, and to go and tour with them and with her, and now she's doing really well. And Alice Cooper, she's beautiful, beautiful girl, smoking player.
Yes, and leads me to another question I had for you.
Okay,
do you feel that the acceptance of women in the metal genre has become a better place than what it was back in the day? Or do you still see that there's this non-acceptance in the not as fan related, but by other bands that are male?
Well, I will tell you this. I'm a dude chick. You know, I mean, you're talking to me now and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. But there are some weirdnesses that go on. I've hung out with dudes my whole life, you know, and with the naked chicks on the wall and stuff. But when the chicks start getting overtly a little bit sexual and they're playing the guitar too, there's some odd thing that goes on there that's kind of weird. Now, Nita's very, you know, dude chick too, but there are some that are, I think, you know, the focus on music is most important. And I think that, you know, really, if you're going to be a professional player, that needs to be the focus rather than, you know, women that put their sexuality out there and then they're trying to be serious guitar players. And I think that it's a, you know, as far as guitar players go and virtuosos go, that you need to be focused on your guitar and not on the way you look in order to be taken seriously. Because really, coming from a dude chick, you know, and I am very, very feminine at the same time, you know, but I'm super, you know, relatable and just kind of like a guy, the way I talk and the way I am and how I relate to people. But you really have to be just kind of focused on your guitar to be taken seriously. And I think that goes for women or men, you know, anything that's overtly sexual is just kind of fucking weird. You know, nobody wants to fucking deal with that. I saw some guy that was a workout guy the other day in some kind of weird pose with his wife where she was like over him. And it was just so weird. And it was so overtly sexual. And I was like, dude, nobody wants to see that. And like with transgender people and whatnot, and they try to be overtly sexual. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see it from a straight person. Nobody wants to see it from a gay person. It's just normal people, you know? So I think that as far as being accepted, that the acceptance was the same back then, but you just have to be someone that is focused on your instrument rather than, you know, being something that's weird. You know, Jennifer Batten, I did some project with her. I did a Tigress with her. She played for Michael Jackson. And she was taken seriously. You know, I mean, she did her thing and she did it well. And she wasn't like, you know, her tits weren't hanging out or anything like that. She wasn't, you know,
right,
anything weird. I see some beautiful girls that play well, but it's just almost like, and my husband's like, I'm not even gonna, I'm not looking at that shit because it's weird, you know? So I think in order to be taken seriously and to be accepted, no matter whether you're a woman or you're a man, you got to be focused on your instrument. Because even there's some men that are like overtly sexual with, you know, their instruments trying to sell it that way. It just doesn't work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think the acceptance is about the same. There's more. It's a saturated market now, especially there's a lot of younger kids doing it because their parents, you know, gave them a guitar early on and they're doing stuff. But I think that the people that are taken seriously are the ones that are focused on, you know, what they are on their instrument and they're, you know, it shows if they're serious about what they're doing or not. So yeah, acceptance is about the same as it was. I never dealt with any guys that were dickheads like that. I dealt with one guy that didn't want me to sing in a band because they wanted to have a guy front person because they wanted to get more, you know, poontang. They didn't want a female front. And he's like, Kate, we're just going to tell you, okay? And they tried to, this is funny. Machine Gun Kelly was the name of this band I was in. And I fucking killed it on this vocal. They recorded me. They're like, you're off key. We're going to record you and see what's up. And then, you know, they're trying to fire me. And I'm like, look at me. I said, look, listen to the recording. I'm fucking perfect on it. I sound killer. And they go, yeah, you do. Okay, well, we're just going to tell you the truth. We don't want you because we want a guy because we want to get chicks, you know, so. Those, I've never heard anyone really be against women, you know, musicians, though. I mean, unless they want to get some tail, you know, and that's the only reason why. So that's the only reason why a woman would be not accepted, you know. And that's why I was in an all-female band first, you know, and then I didn't have that kind of a problem. But I will tell you, there's weirdnesses with females in a female front situation because there's always a girlfriend. In all seriousness, or there's always someone that has a fucking problem, you know, because they're not getting the attention that they need to. And that's a tough thing, you know, that's a really tough thing. And I've dealt with that my whole life. But, you know, I think it's just if you're a normal person and you're the most accepted, it's just a person. Never had a problem with weirdness as far as men being unaccepting, other than if they want to get, you know, puss.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, what's the best way to get the catalog and a merchandising that you have?
So the best way is to go to animatedinsanityrecords.com in the United States and nodustrecords.com in Europe. And we've got the new double CD that just came out a few months back. And Vainglory, it's a 2-for-1. You know, you can get the dual CD, big, nice booklet, all the lyrics and everything, pictures. It's something that's different. So, you know, it's definitely worth it. It's two CDs for the price of one. And then if they want to check me out, they can check me out on Facebook or Instagram. And Vainglory is the same way. We have those pages. I just had a new solo album release, which is just basically kind of a mishmash of what I needed to say. It's not really any genre. It's metal, it's pop, it's different, but it's just me, you know, being saying stuff about life, about death, and you know, I like lyrics and writing what I needed to write to get out there. And they can get that on Spotify or any streaming platform. It's called Depth Perception. You can look up my artist name, Kate French, and hear my catalog. And then Corbin King, he has all kinds of solo albums that he's done. So if you want to do that, you can look up him on Spotify. He's also done some production for hip hop stuff. Like I said, Tech N9ne and Ritz. He did Picture Perfect, which is, I think, over 5 million views now. So lots of places, but the main thing that we're pushing now is, you know, the dual Vainglory CD, and then we're going to have another one out in August. So, and that'll complete, you know, we'll get that done and get on a new presser and you know, get a new nice album, hopefully on a new label. Maybe those labels will pick us up, but animatedinsanityrecords.com and nodustrecords.com in Europe.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give any message to your fans, what would that message be?
Thank you for listening. You know, thanks for taking the time. Anybody that takes just a couple seconds to listen to what you do, you know, I have so much gratitude for them, because you don't have to, you know, they don't have to listen. They don't have to do shit, you know, and someone that takes a moment to listen to what you do is a blessing. So, you know, what I want to say to anyone that takes a moment to listen to anything that I do and any of the art that I create is thank you.
Well, I wanted to take a moment to thank you for creating a catalog that I've enjoyed for many years.
Right on.
I wish you the very best on all your future endeavors.
Thank you. I hope to talk to you again when this new Vainglory CD comes out in August.
Absolutely. I'd love to. And if you're ever looking for a PR guy, remember, give me a call.
I will.
All right. Thank you, my friend. And you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Cheers.
Cheers.